back with you on the Leader Dieter Kurtenbach until 10 p.m. This is KNBR Tonight, and he is Bob Sturm of The Athletic. I'm so excited to talk to you, Bob, because I have been learning so much about the Dallas Cowboys by just reading your content, and I have some questions here about the schematics. My first question, though, is how you doing? How excited are you for Sunday? This feels monumental, this game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is going to be great. It's certainly, we all start in July, and we get on this journey, and we don't know where it's going to take, and 32 teams, 32 directions. So it's finally do or die time in the NFL, and those of us who are lucky to do this for a living, it's what we shoot for. So it's great.
Yeah, and the overtime pay doesn't hurt either, but no, I'm kidding. We definitely don't get paid overtime. We're happy to do this. We do get paid, though. We're very lucky in that regard. Let's just talk about the matchups here. We've made so much here in the Bay Area about Dallas's seeming inability to stop the run versus San Francisco's sort of physicality and their deep down desire to run the ball, particularly to the left side. But there's a matchup that I want to focus in on, and it's Dak Prescott versus cover three. And, you know, the stats will tell you that he just hasn't been a very good quarterback against cover three this year. And that's something that the 49ers predominantly run. Is that a fair, are the stats lying to us? Is that a fair assessment of Dak Prescott? And if it is, why do you think Dak hasn't been very good against cover three this year?
Well, it's a great question, and it's one I certainly would love to dive down into. I'll be honest, I think I would say zone defense in particular, or in general, cover three in specific, but really what we're talking about is the way teams try to defend the Cowboys right now, especially with the inability to really run the football. They love to play zone against the Cowboys. Obviously part of it is necessity. CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper in particular are very difficult covers for a man team. And of course, San Francisco doesn't really play much man at all, so this actually fits them. The other thing is when you do play a high-powered offense, and you guys certainly know this as well as anybody, you play a high-powered offense, the best way to beat them is to get there with four. We've certainly seen it over the course of time. Heck, we saw it in last year's playoffs when Tampa Bay demonstrated a four-man rush. Then you can drop seven. You get after Rodgers, get after Mahomes, and the next thing you know, you're winning the Super Bowl. So this is, you know, the 49ers are just a really strong, fundamentally sound, physical football team. And defensively, they can give the Cowboys fits by dropping seven into the secondary, have a highly populated secondary where the windows are smaller and everybody is facing the quarterback. So, yeah, I think struggle may be a little strong.
Okay.
And I also know that press man coverage has its own challenges. But in this case, I really like the Niners' chances to sort of harness the one-dimensional Cowboys, because, you know, not only do they not stop the run real well, but they also don't run the ball real well recently. And then these are concerns in Dallas.
Well, and then you also take into account that cover three is a great way to get eight guys into the box.
Yeah.
And so you're even more stout. I mean, if you can run cover three effectively, you can be a really good defensive team. We've seen that time and time again. Now, there are quarterbacks that just eat that stuff up. And again, we just haven't really seen that from Dak, even with the great wide receivers. Where is the bread and butter for this Cowboys offense? Where is them in their rhythm? What are they doing against a zone defense, if they've been able to do it at all this year? You know better than I. What is it? You know, they're trying to run the ball. They're still a run-first team in theory. But when they're cooking, what's working?
Well, what's working, I think, is the quick game out to the perimeter and obviously getting the ball to your playmakers. But it's also there's the thing about cover three, and I certainly went through the entire life cycle where it was the new thing in the NFL, then it was the popular thing, and then everybody figured out how to handle cover three with over routes and flooding, of course, and putting the safety into conflicts. So now we've kind of come full circle. So I do think the Cowboys, especially with a guy like CeeDee Lamb, running those over routes. I'm not saying he's Tyler Lockett in his prime, but I am saying CeeDee Lamb is a very, very special weapon that has not gotten off recently. I really think, you know, the issues with the Cowboys is just a general belief that their offensive line can protect and can also move the foot, you know, move people out in the run game. And they, you know, for whatever reason, and I would suspect a big part of it is Tyron Smith's health. But for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to feel good about their protection. And so, you know, that's obviously an issue on Sunday, because it's not just Nick Bosa, of course. It's Armstead. It's Arden Key. It can be Ebukon at times. So, you know, the Niners have, like I said, in certain matchup situations, you could argue the Niners present the matchup issue that might be most damaging to the Cowboys offense overall. People might ask, well, what does that mean? I think it means if they get to Tampa Bay in the next round, they might actually be more equipped to deal with the current form of the Buccaneers defense more than they are with San Francisco.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, totally. I totally get that. And I guess you can make the same point in reverse, right? Because the Cowboys run a lot of cover one, which I never thought we'd see the day where, you know, you have a cover three defensive coordinator through and through and Dan Quinn, but he's going man to man on the outside and going with one high safety. And they like to do that robber play with another safety. And that is death for Jimmy Garoppolo. At least it has been death. You never really know what you're getting with Jimmy Garoppolo. With the corners and somewhat of the boom or bust, and I know they've been more sound as of late, maybe not giving up as much as they have been getting, which is a nice turn for them. But with the corners being so aggressive on the outside, with Micah Parsons moving all the way around, just what kind of defense is Dan Quinn have going into these playoffs? Because sometimes that can be a dangerous thing, a thing that, you know, gets you kicked out of the playoffs soon, and sometimes it's an absolutely great thing. What is the confidence level in this defense actually going in? And is Dan Quinn going to maybe pull it back a little bit with the aggression because it's the playoffs and you kind of want to keep some stuff in front of you every now and again?
Well, you might be pulling back the reins a little bit on aggression with the defensive backs. I won't doubt that. In fact, I think the real question for the Cowboys DBs will be run support. The word. A lot of people have thoughts on Trayvon Diggs this season, but I will tell you the one that still isn't talked about nationally is the fact that he's not the type of guy to tackle out on the edge.
It's nothing but business decisions, my friend. I mean,
compare a guy to Deion Sanders long enough, and he becomes Deion Sanders at least a facsimile thereof. But I'll tell you, you know what. Is a really interesting story from a Cowboys standpoint and why they might be a real threat to put a couple wins together here.
Yeah.
Is getting DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory backs healthy on their edges, very active. Neville Gallimore at DT, and then somebody like Micah Parsons, who now doesn't have to play edge. He can just kind of fit in the A gaps or the B gaps and really be dangerous. So what I'm saying is, you know, going back to that wonderful playoff formula that maybe the Giants made famous in 07 and 11 with the ability to have just a dominating and deep defensive rotation, I think the Cowboys might be there. Their defensive line has never looked like this. They just have strength in numbers. They have dominant. They have three matchup problems with Gregory, Lawrence, and Parsons. Mm-hmm. And I think That might be the big wild card. Now, the 49ers are pretty solid across the front, so maybe it doesn't show up a ton here, especially since they're not going to ask Garoppolo to throw it 35 times. We can't imagine. But right. You would think the Cowboys could control the game if they do get, like I said, to maybe a Green Bay where, the Packers offensive line has been pretty beat up this season. So there's some question marks there, but the strength of this defense is absolutely no doubt those three guys. And so what they do is they set up the Cowboys defensive backs for takeaways. And we all know that's the real, that's the real decider in these NFL playoff games is who can win the turnover battle. Well, the Cowboys clearly can. The question is it sustainable now that all the bad offenses they've played have pretty much been weeded out?
Talking to Bob Sturm, he covers the Dallas Cowboys for a variety of outlets. I've been loving his stuff on The Athletic as of late. Let me ask you about Zeke Elliott. From an outsider's perspective, it's kind of a tough watch, Bob. I mean, they keep giving him the ball, and he keeps running into the back of the line. Sometimes he tries to burst it to the outside, and I'm using the word burst very liberally there.
Right.
You watch Tony Pollard, and you're wondering when the hell that guy is going to get the majority of the carries. Is the playoffs the time that they make that switch, or are they Zeke until they die?
Well, we're going to have to see it to believe that the Cowboys are no longer the Jerry Jones show. And, not to fall back on that necessarily, but I do think this is the last horizon of the madness of Jerry Jones kind of running the Cowboys is that there are, for lack of a better term, teacher's pets on this roster, and this goes back a couple decades, but these awkward situations where you have famous players. Pillars of the franchise, if you will. At a certain point, it no longer becomes a meritocracy. At a certain point, it becomes, well, we like this guy. And, well, is he your best player? Well, it almost doesn't matter because we're not going to sit this other guy down. And that's, honestly, if you want to go back to earlier in the season, that's why it was kind of shocking to a lot of us that they actually did say goodbye to Jalen Smith, because Jalen was another one of those, billboard guys, if you will. And his play had dropped to such a level that it was a sore thumb on the defense, and they let him go. So maybe there's progress, but I think anybody who watches this team will tell you Tony Pollard is the more explosive back. Clearly with Pollard, there is a question about durability. There might be some Raheem Mostert in his game a little bit where, okay, it's great, you're fast. We don't know if you can take 15 touches a game and stay healthy. But the good news for that, I guess, is that we'll never know, because as long as Zeke is under contract, he seems to remain the lead dog, whether he has explosiveness or is he the world's oldest 26-year-old that anyone's ever seen? So I think you see it dead on. But this is the big question: does Mike McCarthy have the authority, and does he have the wherewithal to pull the trigger on a decision like that? And from what I can tell, McCarthy may have the gravitas to do it. I just don't know that he has the interest to take on, the franchise, because, Dak and Zeke, great friends, great buddies. Yeah. It's a weird deal where, a lot of times, this human element, comes into play on it.
Well, I appreciate that politics didn't get in the way of us having you on the show today, Bob. It was a tremendous pleasure, and again, can't recommend your stuff on The Athletic enough for anybody trying to get up to speed with these Dallas Cowboys. These Decoding Kellen Moore columns are as good as it gets, and we appreciate you writing those and taking the time to talk to us about the Dallas Cowboys today. Have a great rest of your weekend, and looking forward to what's coming out of the game on Sunday from you, and hell, these teams as well, if we have to mention it.
Yeah, real pleasure. Nice to be on with you, and everybody enjoy this football weekend and this great game. It should be fun.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.